Hey everyone, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today is the 22nd of January, 2023. And on today's show, a look back at the weekend that was in Big 12 basketball, which was headlined by TCU taking it to the Kansas Jayhawks in Fall Allen Fieldhouse. Also, a lot more from the weekend that was coming up on today's show.
You are Locked On Big 12. Your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, Josh Neighbors here at Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to the channel. Please do so. It really helps. We're trying to get to 3,200 subscribers by the end of January. So if you guys could subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe as well. That would be great. Like the videos. Leave comments as well. Today's show is brought to you all by LinkedIn. I'll let you guys know that about today's show. More from them later on. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12 is where you guys can find the show. You guys can find me at Josh Neighbors _. You guys can find the show as a whole, wherever you get your podcast, or once again, right here on YouTube. I want to start off with a quick note here because I kind of get some stuff on Twitter and some of you guys follow me there. Some of you guys don't. You guys should if you do not. A lot of Big 12 tweets and some other stuff as well, sports-related tweets, but a lot of Big 12 stuff happening over there. And I've seen a criticism I get a lot on the comment section and also on Twitter, whatnot. I do not pull for a specific Big 12 team. I want the conference to do well as a whole. So like, if there's a situation inside the league that is better for the league if one team beats the other, like that's kind of usually where my allegiances lie. I just want whatever is best for the league normally, but when it's league team versus like outside team, I'm usually pulling for the league team unless it's, you know, it's a one-off where Kansas is playing Missouri, right? I went to Missouri, but like, you know, unless it's a one-off like that, usually I'm pulling for the Big 12 team. So just note that as we kind of look here, because, you know, people are like, oh, you know, you're pulling for TCU, you're a TCU guy. Then there's also a lot of people who think I was anti-TCU because I had some choice words about the Kendall Briles hire. So, and look, that's just my opinion. You guys can have yours. So yeah, just once again, know that I am not against any Big 12 team. I am really for all of them. And in certain situations, I want, you know, some to do well. There's a certain game where a team needs to win. You know, if it was a game like the Big 12 championship game, we had a 12 team playoff and K-State needed to win it to get in, you know, and TCU would probably get it anyway. You probably want K-State to win. So you have two teams in, so stuff like that. Let's get to this weekend. So this was another really fun weekend of Big 12 hoops. You know, we had that Texas West Virginia game at night, which was close. Oklahoma State comes from behind to win a 2-point game. K-State rallies to win that game. Baylor rallies to win their game. I mean, there were a lot of fun, cool storylines that we have to begin where the day in Big 12 hoops began. TCU 83, Kansas 60 at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. You know, body blow effect, maybe, you know, KU's coming off of a big loss, obviously. But TCU had a bad loss on the road as well against West Virginia. And so you're wondering kind of where they are when they come into this game. But really, this was a tremendous, tremendously fun basketball game to watch. This game was up and down. There were runs happening left and right. You know, TCU takes the big lead. It felt like the KU run was on the way. It was. TCU was up 22 at one point in the first half. Bill Self gets a technical foul to fire up the Jayhawks. And then it goes back to, I think they got the 10 at one point. That's where it went at halftime. And then I thought the rest of the way, the job that TCU did to stave off any real KU run was impressive. The also impressive part is, you know, I know things didn't really matter in the end, but TCU outscored KU in the second half too. And you felt like all year long, that's where Kansas has made their money, and they did not today. They were sloppy with the basketball, 17 turnovers in this game. You know, it felt like some of their shooting woes carried over from the other night. Dwan Harris, 0 for 4. 1 for 6, and only played 23 minutes because he was in foul trouble on the night. And I'll get to Jalen Wilson in a second. But on the other side of things, like TCU shoots 54% from the floor, 53% from three, and 80% from the line. They were 31-57, 8-15 from deep, 13-16 from the line. just a crazy efficient game from TCU. And look, like Mike Miles does not shoot that three ball especially well this year, but he's still a 50%+ shooter from the field because he's such a devastating 2-point shooter. He's now actually above 30% on the year. He's approaching 31, but you got guys like Emmanuel Miller who shoot like 58%, Damian Ball, 44%, right? Eddie Lampkin, big guy. So he should be shooting above the 50s. He is, he's a 55% shooter. And they have all these guys that, you know, together have played, very good basketball, I would say, at times. But then you have yesterday a contribution from a guy like a Shahada Wells who comes in there and was absolutely lighting it up. And they were spreading the floor. They were attacking. And as good as Kansas is in transition sometimes, TCU was the better team in transition. I'm not sure what the fast break points ended up being, but TCU was running and running and running. And they were very much willing to oblige KU in that style. And that's what gave them the early lead. And every single time they needed to make a shot, to stop a run, whatever it is, came from KU, they got it. Jamie Dixon's group, I think there are times they lose focus. There are times they look disorganized. I think especially during the West Virginia game in that first half, complete disorganization, turnovers left and right. And that's something I think down the road you have to be worried about. But this is the kind of team TCU can be. It's tough to do this night in and night out in the Big 12. There will be more losses. There might even be 2-game losing streaks. Hell, there might be a 3-game losing streak in the cards for TCU at some point. They lost back-to-back games against Iowa State and Texas. It would have been a 3-game losing streak if they didn't hit the big shot down the, or they didn't get the big win. Obviously, the big shot too down the stretch against Baylor. But I put this on Twitter and I'll put it out right here. I think the TCU Horned Frogs can definitely be a Final Four team. Will they? Let's see what I predict when the time rolls around here. But the thing about them is with what they've got in transition with Ball, with Miles, with Miller, guys like Lampkin, you know, if you can get PV, you know, good to go and healthy. I know availability yesterday for him was a challenge. You got guys like Wells coming off the bench who can do what, you know, he did yesterday. Charles O'Bannon's been there for a long time too. Like they've got a lot of guys who have played a lot of basketball and are experienced and are good scorers and can score from different places. They've got multiple guys, in my opinion, who are tough shot makers in Damian Ball, and Mike Miles is kind of the ultimate shot maker. They can run half court offense. They can find baskets in the half court. They can find baskets in transition. They can find baskets in the paint. They can shoot the three ball. They can do everything. You know, they're not a great 3-point shooting team. They're sub 30% on the year, but they can light it up like yesterday, because yesterday, and I know they hit some step back, tough threes, whatever, but like they were spreading out, creating and getting open looks. This is not a team that's always going to wow you with the passing, right? It's not a team that is going to always light it up in terms of assists, but they've got guys who are good individual scorers and they can move the ball around when they need to. There's lots of parts of their game they should polish off. They do turn the ball over a good bit. They're not the best defensive team in the conference, but they're athletic. They can run. They can beat you in the half court. They can beat you in transition. They can D up when they need to. They can get steals. This is a very, very dangerous basketball team, TCU is. K-State fans will attest to that when TCU beat the brakes off them last week. And K-State right now is the rightful number one team in this league. So TCU, they made a statement yesterday. And once again, this league, you know, statements can kind of be week-to-week things because you never know what's going to happen next. I actually don't know off the top of my head who TCU plays next. Take a look here in 1 second about where they play. Let's see. They play Tuesday. Yeah, they have Oklahoma at home, right? So you think they win that game, but if that's a close shootout and, you know, Grant Sherfield hits a shot at the down late and TCU loses, like, it's going to happen. There might be an upsetting loss, whatever. But you see that version of TCU yesterday, and you think about the problems they caused for an Arizona back in 2021. I mean, they were a bad foul call away from, I think, winning that basketball game against Arizona last year in the NCAA tournament. It was a late game, right? Nobody was really watching it. But in round two, I thought TCU should have beaten Arizona last year, and they did not. But this team, dangerous, absolutely dangerous when it comes to tournament time. And you think, I'd say, Josh, top 15, sure. But we aren't talking about TCU enough. We're talking about Kansas State. We're talking about Kansas. We're talking about Rodney Terry at Texas. You know, I think we're talking about Baylor now. We'll get to them in a second. But TCU's team that we have to really consider. Are they the best team in the Big 12? They win a Big 12 championship regular season. They might win a tournament because I think they've got a team built to win a, you know, three or four games and, you know, 3-day games basically for them in 3 days. I think they've got that kind of team. But the regular season, I don't know. But I mean, conference or tournament setting, that's gonna be a tough team to beat. For Kansas, they need to figure out how to bring that consistent level of play for 40 minutes. They are not doing that right now. And while the results for this Kansas team are 16-3, second in the Big 12 right now, you think about where this team was last year. They were, you know, I think they were what, 16-2 and 21? Yeah, so they're a little bit better. So results, like, they're, you know, kind of in the same area that they were back in the championship season, obviously, they had last year. For them, though, you know, that record can be a little deceiving because think about all those close games they had: Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, West Virginia wasn't that close. OU game, right? Iowa State game, K-State game was close. You say, oh, maybe they flip that one around to the win. Whatever. They have a tough time putting their foot down on teams. They did against Seton Hall. They did against Missouri. They did against Indiana, against like the good teams in the schedule. I'd say they put their foot down against them. Maybe you could say, and I'm trying to think, not really anybody earlier in the season that really took it to. So this team's got the ability. They've got a guy in Jalen Wilson who is absolutely a fantastic player all around. They just need that supporting staff to set up, the supporting cast to step up. And also, like, there are going to be games where guys like KJ Adams are in foul trouble. I thought the fourth foul he picked up was a bad call. I really did not like that call, but he put himself in some tough spots. He had one that was an off-ball reach that I really did not like, and he cannot put himself in those situations. He is way too valuable. While he is not a huge guy, he is under control. He is a good athlete. He's a very good roller. He's very good at finding space where he comes off a screen and he can, matriculate his way into a space where a pass can come to him, but also the defender maybe can't get to him in time, or also he's got a chance to get a shot up. A defender can't reach his shot because he can only soar through the air and get that shot up. He's a guy who's what, 6'8", and can play a lot bigger than 6'8" because of his athleticism. He's a smart player, but yesterday was not one of the smarter games. And the thing is for them, you know, I know they might not want to do this, but they're going to find ways potentially to get a guy like Ernest Uday, some more PT, because they're going to need guys like that, I think, later on in the season, right? They're going to need players like that to step up from Zach Clements, right? Somebody, another big guy, just not a very effective offensive player. And so this team lacks depth. And when you're getting performances like we're seeing, you know, right now, DeJuan Harris is still 43% three-point shooter. He's been really cold last couple games. They need Joseph Yesufu to step up as a shooter too. They need Grady Dick to step up. He is not, I mean, he's still shooting at 44%, but like, he's on a cold spell. I'm not too worried about him. McCullough was better yesterday, but we saw a cold the other day. Like, when you've got that much lack of depth, you need all those guys to step up. And right now, all those guys are not stepping up in a meaningful enough way. I still think they're fine. If I had to bet on a team to win the Big 12, still put my money on that team. But right now, it's not looking excellent at this moment in time. Next game, the first place team, let's get to them. K-State, they rally. A game against Texas Tech, they were down, I think, two scores. They were down, still in football mode. At least 10 plus points, I think, once or twice in this game. Texas Tech is just grasping for straws, fighting for wins. This team has not quit yet on Mark Adams. I have to give them that. They're just not very good. They're not a good shooting team. They were 32% yesterday. They were 24 from three. They were 5 for 12 from the line. Their leading scorer yesterday was Pop Isaacs, who had 13. So did Davion Harmon. Those two guys combined yesterday were 9 for 32 from the floor, and they were 4 for 16 from three, which is just 25%. You know, Kevin O'Banner, who's not really a guy who can create his own shot, go 4-12, 1 for 6 from three, and 0 from 5 from the line. Like, this team, while they're doing things like they were plus 4 yesterday on the road, they're just not doing everything simultaneously you need to do to win. I thought it was a pretty decent day for them defensively, especially in that first half, but second half, things got away from them, and K-State ends up winning this game by 10 points. So I love the way they came out. I love the energy that they had, but K-State did a good job of grinding them out. Thought Marquise Noel had a really strong game because he got to the free throw line 10 times. When you got a guy who's what, five eight, go to the free throw line 10 times, it tells you something about a player, especially on a team that was struggling to shoot the basketball. They were attacking the rim. You know who else went to the free throw line 10 plus times? Keontae Johnson, 3 for 7 from the floor, but 8 for 10 from the line. Those two guys combine to go 17 for 20 from the free throw line. That will play. Those two guys combine once, and they're the engine that makes this thing go. They combine for 38 points on a day where most efficient shooting from the floor? No. But they got to the line, efficient from the free throw stripe, and that attacking was really what they needed to do. You know, forcing all the fouls, getting to the free throw line, making your free throws, 20 for 27, not an amazing day, but they made them when they counted. And that is, you know, that's really what matters. Those two guys, you know, shooting 20 for 27 free throws, that will play. K-State guys, they've won games in the hundreds. They're winning games in the 60s. They're winning games in the 90s. They're winning games regulation. They're winning games in overtime. Jerome Tang is, he knows what he's doing. And I guess we should have all seen this coming. I think the one question for us, you know, preseason expectations wise, it's fair to say this, that how are we supposed to know Keontae Johnson would be this good coming off what happened to him? And I think that's a really fair, it's a fair assessment. If you're like, look, we had no idea. Totally fair. We had no idea. I didn't have an idea. But now we know it's this guy. Now we know, you know, Marquise Noel can be a leader. And they've got guys like Masoud off the bench. You know, Sills had a great game against Kansas. Obviously, Naquan Tomlin, you know, for them, plays a pretty pivotal role. Like, they've got a good collection of guys. And you love the way this team looks right now. 17-2. They're 11-0 at home. They're making home a fortress. The crowd was great yesterday. The big key for them now is, once they return to the road in Big 12 play, how does that go for them? So far, pretty decent, right? At Texas, they get the win. But the other one, at Baylor, they get the win, double overtime win, or the overtime win. TCU did not, but they have Iowa State on Tuesday night. You know, games like that at KU is the next road game. So those games, I think, are ultimately going to define whether or not they win the Big 12. But games like yesterday show you why, hey, look, they're built to be in front right now. They rallied in the day where they really did not look very good. That shows character, in my opinion. Definitely does. Alone at the top at 6-1 in the league. All right, quick word from our sponsors on today's show, and then we'll hit the rest of the Big 12 action. But once again, first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you all by the folks from LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 is predicated off making the right kind of hires. We always know that who you hire is the most important thing. LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire the most qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. Go to linkedin.com today, LinkedIn Jobs. You guys can go to linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. There you guys can post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, folks, let's keep this thing rolling. In other Big 12 action yesterday, the kind of third game, you know, we have to get to Oklahoma State. Like, they're not done yet. Not a tournament team. They have a lot of problems, but the reason why I picked them yesterday, I had a good day yesterday. I was 4-0-1 ATS against the spread. You guys can follow me on Twitter at LO Big 12 and at Josh Neighbors for those picks. The reason why I liked Oklahoma State, in a game where it was two very good defensive teams, you pick the home team, right? When you think it's going to be a dogfight, you usually want to pick the home team. And yesterday, the home team got the job done. And this was one of the better days that Oklahoma State had shooting the three-pointer. Avery Anderson in particular, you know, he's not built to be the lead guy. We saw it yesterday with 8 turnovers, but still shot the ball very well. 2 for 3 from 3, 5 of 9 from the floor, 6 of 9. And he was the guy that really led them, and they led that charge. They're able to come back and rally. And I love Mike Boynton. Excuse me. I love Mike Boynton as a coach. I think he is an awesome, awesome coach. The thing is, like, they've got an awesome recruiting class coming in next year, and they've still been hampered by some recruiting stuff up to this point because everything going on with the investigation into Oklahoma State. I think he's dealt with it very well. This team is not fantastic, though. It's not a really good team. I don't think it's to be a tournament team. But I was impressed with this win. Iowa State, I mentioned this the other day. games like these are the real indicators about like how real of a contender you can be. And the issue for Iowa State is the lack of just proven scoring, and the droughts happened. They went up big early, but they just could not shoot the ball very well late. I mean, you know, they were plus 10 in the first half, minus 11 in the second half, scored like 24 points in that second half. Just for them, it was a slog. They're still a really good team, still a good basketball team. They're still awesome at home. I just think we have to acknowledge where this team is. But Oklahoma State, quality win. And for them, they're not out of this thing just yet. Do I like their chances to make the tournament? No. Out of it yet? Also, no. We cannot say that they're out yet. Huge win yesterday for Baylor. Big loss. I think it's a bigger loss for Oklahoma. I'll explain that in a second. 62-60, the number 21 ranked Baylor Bears get the win. They're now 4-3 in conference. They are now on a four-game winning streak. They've shaken off a 0-3 start in the league to get their heads back above 500. They go get a win on the road on a day where Keontae George was not fantastic. 3 for 12 from the floor yesterday with four turnovers in the game. They fought and they battled. They scratched and they clawed. And I think they're still trying to figure out what this team looks like, what their best lineup is. Is it with Flagler and Cryer and George and Bridges and Thamba together? You know, is it with a guy, you know, Dale Bonner's kind of losing minutes? Is it a Langston Love out there on the floor at the same time? But I think the one guy, the swing guy, the guy they need, like George, Cryer, and Flagler are a really scary combination. And yesterday, they were not the most efficient group in the world shooting. But I'll tell you what, the swing guy for them is Jalen Bridges. And Bridges hits the big shot late in this game, and he has been the factor. That's the guy that we know that they're going to need. I know Langston Love also makes made a couple big shots too, at other points of the game. But like the guy that throughout the game that I felt like was the big one was Jalen Bridges. Like that's their swing guy. Right. You know, he hits that three pointer. It's the go ahead three with what was it, about 2 minutes left, about a minute 30 left, somewhere in that range. And that was massive for them, because then they get the next three from Adam Flagler, and that put them up four. And really, OU could not close that gap. Was it a bit shaky closing that game out? Yes. Yes, it was. But Baylor now, four in a row, they get the next game at home. Bridges was a steady force yesterday. And so he comes over from West Virginia, and you're wondering, hey, when is this guy completely going to get his legs under him? It feels like he started to do so. It really does. Huge stretch for them coming up. So they had the West Virginia win on the road, Oklahoma State at Texas Tech and at OU. All right, so you beat some teams towards the bottom of your league. But the big news is in that stretch, you racked up three Big 12 road wins. That's huge. Now it's KU at home, then Arkansas at home, then Texas on the road. There's a good chance, guys, that next Monday night, big Monday, January 30th, we're talking about a Baylor team that has won six games in a row. They're coming off back-to-back wins against top 25 opponents. Will it be difficult? Yes. Can they do it? I think this team is going to do it. And I'll tell you what, that Monday night game, the KU-Baylor game, oh my God, guys, is that a massive, massive contest in this league. I think Baylor, guys, if they get red hot, like they're not out of this thing just yet. They are not out of this thing because the coaching pedigree of Scott Drew, because the amount of talent on their team, because the proven winners like Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer, and I mean, Keontae George is just a special player. Are they all the way there yet? Not sure. Like TCU just showed us the all the way great version of what TCU could be. Have I seen that yet from Baylor? I don't think we have, which is good news and it's bad news, because I think you want to see that at some point in time. Oklahoma, these are the kinds of games that you have to win if you want to make the NCAA tournament. Right now, Joe Lunardi has Oklahoma as the last team in. OU is the last team in. Kentucky picked up the big win this weekend against first-place Texas A&M. He has got them in now. He'll have them flip probably. He'll put Kentucky in, OU out. But OU, when you get games like this, opportunities like this at home, you have to take them. These are the games you have to win if you want to make the NCAA tournament. They don't do it. I think Porter Moser is doing an okay job, but the investment from the fans and the program, it just feels like it's not all the way there. They got some decent players, but they're not. That program, just feels like they have to win all their home games. It's not a good enough home court advantage. And, a win like KU on the road would have put them in an awesome spot, but they couldn't finish it out. Right? 4-point loss there. They get kind of clobbered in that second half against Oklahoma State. Right now, they've won, they lost their first two conference games, And then they beat Texas Tech barely. They lost to KU. And they get the win, and they go down again. So this is a team right now, it's just battling 2-5 in the league. And they're towards the bottom. They're behind Oklahoma State. So they have to make sure they start, they need to start playing better, but it's not going to get any easier with at TCU and Alabama and then Oklahoma State again, at Baylor, at West Virginia, at Baylor, then KU, Kansas. I mean, their schedule is brutal. They're going to have to start taking this thing one game at a time and start racking up some big wins. They'll get a great team coming in their building next week, but Alabama's a wrecking machine right now. 11-8 11-8 Oklahoma in a bit of trouble. Last game we're going to mention, Texas grinds it out, guts it out late. West Virginia has had a bunch of opportunities to beat good teams at home. They picked up one against TCU. They have not picked up the rest, though. And this loss, this is one of those they needed to have. They had the edge early, but Texas fought back. A awesome performance. And we're starting to say this more often now from Marcus Carr, a 23-point performance. They get 20 off the bench, too, in a 69-61 win. Serge Bari-Rice gives them 9, and Christian Bishop gives them 9. Those two guys combine to shoot 7-for-12. That's really good. They also go 5 for 8 from the line, right? So they're getting to the free throw line as well. When you've got guys coming in, spelling you, some of that depth, it's very important to get that. Tyrese Hunter still feels like we haven't seen the best of him. That's good news also. Dylan Dissu, really good performance as well. They just got good depth. And on a night where Timmy Allen wasn't very good, they still get a road win. They're 16-3. They're 5-2 in the league. They're right there at the top. I think they could win this conference. Right now, I still feel like if you give me four teams that could win this thing still, I'd give you Texas. I'd give you K-State. I'd give you KU. I'll give you Baylor. Those are the four teams I think that could still win this league. Now, the most dangerous team, maybe I'd say TCU when it all said and done. But I still feel like because their home court advantage is not excellent, that I'm a little bit worried about that. They might drop a game or two at home and not. But I like those four teams right now. Huge win for them. And I thought on defense, a very good performance, forcing 20 turnovers and then holding West Virginia to sub 40% shooting from the floor, which was very, very good. But those turnovers were a big key there. +7 in the turnover margin. And on a night where you were 3-for-13 from the three-point line, from beyond the arc, it's important that you do things like that. Guys, this race is fantastic. This Big 12 race is going to be awesome. For more, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You guys can find me at Josh Neighbors _. You guys can find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. And obviously, if you're watching right here on YouTube, you guys can find us on YouTube as well. Please subscribe. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.